Praise God. So let's, okay, before we go into the word, I told you that this will be the seventh week or the last week. I'm going to blow the trumpet. Trumpet blow is an announcement in the spirit. And this is the last week of the year. And I'm going to blow the trumpet. The trumpet blow or the announcement is from Amos chapter number 8, verse number, Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So last week I ended on something called as a sup the supply of manna, the supply system of manna. And there were three categories of that supply system. First was the everyday supply of manna. Second is the manna which is stored but does not get spoiled. That is the manna for Sabbath. And third was the manna for equipping the people of God to bring the kingdom of God in the nations of the world to conquer territories. So we saw in the Bible that when God supplied manna on the sixth day, he'd supplied a double portion so that that manna can be used on the seventh day. So in that condition, the manna that was stored for tomorrow, that it was not spoiled. It was not spoiled. So the manna that was stored for tomorrow was not spoiled. Why? Because God wanted God's people to have rest. I already explained in the last sermon what is rest. Rest is fellowship with God, not seeking God for revelation or to minister, but going to God and just having a relationship with Him, intimacy with Him. And for that, the manna was supplied that was not spoiled. Hallelujah. So the manna for rest, those who rest in the Lord, those who practice, that is what Jesus was saying to the church of Ephesians, that you have done everything. You have done ministry. You have discerned the false apostles. You have done everything. But what you have not done is what you are lacking is you have lost your first love. What was the first love is they lost having rest in the Lord. Resting in the Lord is just being in His presence and just talking with Him, just not going to Him for collecting manna, collecting revelation, but just going to Him and just having intimacy with Him, just loving Him, just worshiping Him. That is the secret place. And that is for what the stored manna is given. But here, the announcement that I have been making from last 7 weeks is that the days are coming when there will be a famine, not of bread or water, but of the word. Why? Because people have not rested in the Lord. That's why the famine will come. Are we understanding? The famine will not be for everyone. The famine will be for those who have not rested in the Lord. Even ministry, being very, very busy in ministry. And people don't rest in the Lord. Resting in the Lord is not going on the bed and sleeping on the bed and saying, ah, I am resting, I will not get up from my bed. No, resting in the Lord, what I said, is having fellowship. So I already covered that in the supply system of manna. And stored manna, the manna that is provided for every day, if you store it, it will get spoiled. But the manna that does not get spoiled is the manna for rest, the stored manna. So we got to practice the rest in the Lord, practice the secret place, because the days are coming where there will be a famine. So we got to have the stored manna. All right. So that I ended that sermon last week, that series last week. So this is the announcement and what we are going to start on. I was praying, and what we are going to start off tonight is the great image that exposes Satan's kingdom. The great image that exposes Satan's kingdom. That is what we are going to start off tonight. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 32 to 45. let's go to Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 32 to 45. What we are going to read was a turning point in the seasons that God was bringing on the face of the earth. And what happened in Daniel chapter number 2, it was really a turning point. It was the fall of Satan's kingdom, because something was exposed in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And God purposely wanted the servant of God, Daniel, to interpret and reveal that dream so that Satan's kingdom will be exposed. What Nebuchadnezzar saw was a great image or a huge idol. And the interpretation of that very idol, what it did is it exposed Satan's kingdom. Are we understanding? Now the great image or the huge idol that Nebuchadnezzar saw represents the characteristics and the functionaries of Satan's kingdom. Now, from the past 3 years, I had been teaching on the beast system. But there are aspects of the beast system that we have to climb and get into the depth of the beast system. The last past few weeks before, the few weeks earlier, the beast system that I taught you is the complexity, the 10 heads and the seven heads and the 10 horns of the beast in Revelation chapter number 13, and even the harlot that sits upon the beast and all those things. And I told you who are the seven heads, who are the 10 horns, and the complexity. They are the members of the secret societies, but they are also into all fields, all the heads and all those things. So you can refer to those sermons, but to understand and to expose more of Satan's system, we have to understand the revelation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Because this whole image will fall down and will be grinded to pieces, and the wind will come and take away the residue of it completely, and it will be destroyed by a stone that was not cut without hands. By a stone that was not cut without hands. And when the stone comes and destroys the great image, that stone will become a big mountain and subdue the earth, signifying Jesus is the stone that will be cut. So how is the stone released? How will the stone damage? For us to understand and destroy this kingdom of Satan completely, we have to understand what is the system, how the system is placed. And that could be understood and exposed by the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. What Daniel did there by saying the dream, what Daniel did there by telling the dream and also interpreting the dream, he brought devastation for the kingdom of darkness. So let's go to Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 32 to 45. All right. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 32 to 45. This image's head was of fine gold. He's interpreting the dream now. This image's head was of what? Fine gold. Its chest and arms of silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron. Its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So this great image was completely destroyed by the stone. And what happened? By the wind carried away all the residue of it. So the trace of the kingdom of darkness, of the kingdom that Satan has built, will be completely destroyed in Jesus' name. That is what we have Amen. To realize. Now, Amen. Why I am going, what I'm going to teach you is, if you understand that teaching, it will take out the fear of the future from you. Because there are many believers, when they read Matthew 24, where Jesus speaks about the end days, the great deception, many will fall away, there will be wars, rumors of war. When they read that, they are scared about the future. They think, oh, you know, Satan will reign and, you know, and all those things. When they read Revelation chapter number 13, where it says that the beast will implement the mark of the beast on the foreheads and on the right hand of people. And if anyone does not take the mark, they will not be allowed to buy and sell and trade. So believers, when they read that chapter, they think, oh, these things will happen. What will happen to us? How will we eat? Will we survive for standing for Jesus? They are getting scared. But when you understand and relate this Nebuchadnezzar dream, the great image dream, you will find that what Daniel is speaking is the same revelations that John is speaking in the book of Revelation about the beast system. And in this revelation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we find a loophole in Satan's system. So the kingdom of Antichrist will come, persecution will come, but there will be loopholes in that. And we have to recognize the loopholes for us to survive and for us to reign by the righteousness of God, even when things become difficult on the face of the earth. Because when I was praying many years ago in 2022, God told me, if there is a beast system, there will also be a God system. So before the beast system comes, you need to equip people to explore my system so that they will take advantage of the supply that comes from my system and not of the beast system. Are we understanding? And those things can be explored by exposing the loopholes in the kingdom of Satan. And this dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation of Daniel exposed and stripped apart the holes and the weaknesses of Satan's kingdom. The problem with Satan's kingdom is Satan's kingdom is not consistent. Why? Because in every season, in every century, God raises up men and women who bring down the principalities that Satan sets up. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In every season, what God does is he raises up people. Not a mega church, but maybe two people, maybe three people. And gives them the power, gives them the authority that they have power to dismantle the prince of the air. To dismantle principalities with the help of God, with the help of angels, with the tool of fasting and praying and of the word of God. So that's why Satan's kingdom is not consistent. And that's why the image that was seen by Nebuchadnezzar in the dream had different components. It says, hallelujah. It says the images 32, Daniel chapter number 2, verse 32. The image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet partly of clay and partly of iron. Okay, let's go ahead. We already read that, 34 and 35. This image was destroyed by the stone. Verse number 36. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. Okay? Babylon is the head of gold. But after you shall arise other kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. You see the inconsistency in Satan's kingdom. The head of gold, but when we go progress further, it becomes silver. When you progress further, it becomes bronze. When you progress more further, it becomes iron. When you progress more further, it becomes iron and clay. So, if you have eyes to see, believers, children of God, what the servants of God are doing to Satan's kingdom is, even as days and centuries, years pass by, Satan's kingdom is being weakened.
Amen.
Do you see that? That is what is happening. It was gold, You know why Nebuchadnezzar fell? Why he fell? Because of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He was trying to do wickedly. And, you know, after... Okay, let's go ahead first with the scriptures. Then we will go to the revelation. So, this is what he said about the interpretation. Okay? So, verse number 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Now, we are in the fourth kingdom, the kingdom of iron and clay. The fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the other's kingdom. We will come to that. The iron kingdom is the Antichrist reign. The iron kingdom is rooted in the Roman government. We will come to that in the Catholic Church, which will destroy all, you know, which will destroy all other kingdoms, meaning it will demolish and it will demolish and dismantle all rules and bring the one world government. We will come to that afterwards. Okay. So it says it will crush all the other kingdoms. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. This is the Antichrist beast system kingdom. So it will be partly strong, partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, meaning there will be no unity here. They will not adhere to one another, stay with me, just as iron does not mixes with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Where did the stone come from? It came from a mountain. Okay? We will go there later. It came from a mountain and it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. All the kingdoms, that is the whole outlay of the Satan's kingdom, was destroyed. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. All right. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face prostrate before Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel petitioned the king and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. All right. So the next chapter starts off with Nebuchadnezzar making an image of gold, a huge image of gold. Now, we would think that this Nebuchadnezzar, who acknowledged God as the God of gods and the Lord of lords, why he is in the next chapter doing idol worship? Because the acknowledgement and the worship that he offered to God was completely fake. Was completely fake. In his heart, something else was going. In his heart, he became insecure because Nebuchadnezzar had that spirit of Babylon. He was the king of Babylon, and Babylon is pride. I already took those sermons earlier. What is Babylon? Babylon is pride. So his pride was, why is my kingdom just to the head? Why not completely to the feet? So, are you understanding? My kingdom shall reign forever. That was his problem. That was his pride. So he said, why up to the gold? Why up to the head? And then another kingdom. I want my kingdom forever. That's the spirit of Lucifer. He wants a kingdom like God's kingdom. He wants the power like God's power. That is what happened there between Daniel chapter number 2 and Daniel chapter number 3. So this thought he did not go and tell Daniel, because Daniel has already interpreted the dream. He went to his sorcerers, to his magicians, through to his wise men, and said, you know what, I want to have my kingdom forever. But this God, the God of Daniel, has said my kingdom will not last forever. So they said, let's reverse what God wants to do. How can we reverse? By doing a ritual activity, by doing a satanic ritual. So God showed you the image of gold, of silver. You make an image of complete gold and tie everyone's soul in Babylon to that image, so that the ritual can be completed and God's promises can be reversed. That is what witchcraft does. You understanding? So that was a ritual ceremony where the image was set up complete of gold, and a decree was passed saying, anyone who does not bow down to the image shall be killed, shall be put in fire, because Nebuchadnezzar wanted to complete the ritual. So because of the fear of death, of burning in fire, everyone bowed down to the image except for three guys, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were obedient to God. They were obedient to God and obeying the simple commands of God, but they did not know that through their obedience, they were hindering Satan's plan of reversing God's promises. Because if they did not bow down, the ritual will not be completed. But they did not bow down. They did not bow down. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar was furious and angry. Why you are not bowing down? Because I want to complete my ritual. But they said, we will not bow down. We are no one to answer you, O king, in this matter, because my God is higher than you, they said. We will not bow down to you. I think today we sang that song. Ralston did not know I was preaching this sermon. There was another in the fire standing next to me. Hallelujah. When you obey God, unknowingly or knowingly, what you are doing is you are standing for his purposes. And that's why he will, even if you are put in the fire, he will come to save you. You will not be burned, because he is with you against these demonic rituals, and he will not let the demonic rituals be completed. Hallelujah. So in every generation, God raises up men and women who will stand for God and who dismantle principalities.
Amen.
So God's word stayed, and Nebuchadnezzar ritual was not completed. Anyways, that is not my sermon, but I went there to explain you what happened between Daniel chapter number 2 and Daniel chapter number 3. And that's why our obedience to God makes a difference. It saves souls. It saves territories. Our obedience towards God, when we stand for God, even at the cost of death, God brings salvation. God's purposes are brought to pass. And we destroy the intentions of the devil. We destroy the intentions of wicked men on earth who want to bring wicked schemes to pass by performing satanic rituals and sacrifices. Hallelujah. Okay. Any which ways, let's come back to the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. The head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of bronze, and the legs and feet of iron and clay. So, the head of gold signifies Babylon. The head of gold signifies Babylon, which is the brain of Satan's system. Okay? So everything, the hands, the chest, the thighs, the legs, the feet, are all connected to where? The brain, the head. So Babylon is the root of Satan's kingdom. Babylon is the brain of Satan's kingdom, which controls and regulates the strategy and the progress of the whole system. If the legs have to walk, it will walk as per the command that comes from Babylon. Where is Babylon in Revelation 17, people of God? Where is she? She is on the top, sitting on the beast. You see that? Because she is the brain of the system, Babylon. Everything that goes on in Satan's kingdom, who operates it? Who is the stronghold? Who is the brain? The brain is the Babylon. All right? How many of you watched the Christmas message I released with all the info? Sister K watched it? Anyone who watched it, so okay. So I released a short video about Christmas and about people decorating the trees, people bringing in Santa Claus, putting gifts and all those things. Well, we are enjoying the birth of Jesus. Yeah, we can enjoy it. I am not putting a law, or I am not a legalist person who will judge you for or not all those things. But the fact and the reality of it is Jesus was not even born on 25th December. There was someone else who was born on 25th December, and that is the son of Babylon, the son of Nimrod, who was the founder of Babylon. And everything, all the festivals that are celebrated, that those festivals, Christmas, Easter, all those things did not originate when the apostles taught. It did not originate from the Bible, from the teachings of the apostles. It originated when Rome was converted to Catholicism. And because Rome wanted to make Christianity the religion and the government of the state. And when they introduced Catholicism, they started to replace everything from the Bible with their pagan gods and with their pagan festivals. The woman that they worshipped in Rome, they replaced with Mother Mary. Ashtoreth and the sun Tammuz, or Semiramis, the sun Tammuz. The Tammuz they replaced with Jesus. Some idols that they worship, they replaced with Saint Peter. The idols that you say that see that it's not Saint Peter, it's their gods. So everything was replaced. Their festivals were Christianized, and then it originated from there. And if you see everything in the Catholic Church, it will be rooted back. You will find the roots in Nimrod and Babylon. We'll find everything in Nimrod and Babylon. Okay, let me show you how all the system down that come down, and even the beast system, are rooted in Babylon. Because the Babylon is the brain of the whole, is the brain of the whole system of Satan. The head of gold is Babylon. The brain is Babylon. And this Babylon, and the rituals of Babylon, and the doctrine of Babylon, and the gods of Babylon, are completely ruling over all the systems that comes down, the silver, the bronze, and the other system. Okay, let me quickly show you things, some things that I have already shown in the videos, I encourage you to go on the YouTube channel and see the recent video about Christmas that I posted with all the information on that video, like a very little or small documentary. Okay, but as of now, let us go to Genesis chapter number. Let's open Genesis chapter number 10. Genesis chapter number 10, verse number 8. Okay. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, the expression of that scripture, Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So here is God sitting on the throne and Nimrod before the Lord. Look at me. This is God sitting on the throne and Nimrod before the Lord. That is, and when you read the meaning through the Hebrew text, through the original text, you will understand the arrangement of words is like Nimrod in opposition to the Lord. Before the face of the Lord means against the face of the Lord, in front of the Lord, wanting to become a superpower like God. That was Nimrod. And to fulfill his ambition, what he started to do, he founded the kingdom of Babel. Okay? Now, in the book of Ezekiel, remember that in the temple, Ezekiel saw the abominations. And in one of the abominations, there were women weeping for Tammuz. Who was Tammuz? Tammuz was the reincarnation of Nimrod. Because Nimrod was killed. You can search out all the history and all the scholars. You will find the same story because the story is verified. It's not there in the Bible, but you will find the traces in the Bible. You will find the names in the Bible. You will find the name Nimrod. You will find the name Tammuz. You will find the name Ashtoreth. that is also Semiramis, that was the wife of Nimrod. So when Nimrod died, this wife of Nimrod became pregnant, and she said, Nimrod has become the sun god, and he is reincarnated, he is reborn, and the baby in my womb is the Nimrod, Tammuz. And that's why she married her own son, Tammuz, because she was an immoral woman. So that is the history. You can go and check and verify from everywhere you want. But this Nimrod, this Semiramis, and this Tammuz became the demonic trinity of Babylon, became the duplication of God's kingdom. Are you understanding? Became the duplication of God's kingdom. Listen to me. Jesus is no longer a baby in the arms of a woman. He is resurrected and he is sitting at the right hand of God in all his glory. So I don't bring
Amen.
Him.
Hallelujah.
We don't bring him down and put him as a baby in the hands of a woman. That is not my Jesus. Where God completely has told that do not worship, do not make an image of me. But you will find in the Catholic Church all the images, all the idols. That is the Iron Kingdom. We will come to that. But the Iron Kingdom is rooted in the doctrine of Nimrod, in the doctrine of Babylon. Are we understanding that? And then this demonic trinity are named by different names all over in all religions and all the countries of the world. I want to show you that. I have showed that in my previous sermons. But let me show you that quickly, okay? All right. Hold on for just a few seconds. When I open it, just tell me if you can see it or not. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'm sharing my screen. Here it is. All right. Can you see something here on the on your screen properly? Can you see the image that I'm showing you? Okay.
Not the image, but what?
Is it big? Is it proper? Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Actually, it's just names, like, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you see those names?
Yes, we could.
Yes, okay. Yes, you can see.
Okay, so this Nimrod, Tammuz, and Semiramis, the demonic trinity that Babylon created, the doctrine of Babylon, okay? In Lebanon, it's named Baal, Tammuz, Ashtoreth. In, you will see those, Greece, it's Zeus, Dionysus, Aphrodite. In Rome, it's Jupiter, Attis. So it's these are the three deities. They are named by different names. Even in India, you see Vishnu, Krishna, Devaki. This is the demonic trinity. In Mexico, in Egypt, it's Ra, Osiris, Isis. Isis is that lady, Ashtoreth, Isis, Astra, Ishtar. Ishtar is the Easter god. It's the same Semiramis, rooted in Babylon. The head is of Babylon. You see that? So that's what I'm trying to show you. The head is Babylon, the roots of all Satan's kingdom all around the world, of the other kingdoms that we'll see. The brain is Babylon. The brain is Babylon. Nimrod is also known as Baal. Okay? We will see that is in the Bible. Baal is in the Bible. Tammuz is in the Bible. Ashtoreth is in the Bible, Ishtar is there, and all these things are there. But other things you will see in other religions. It's the same one. Nimrod is known by different names in different countries and religion. Tammuz is known by different names. Semiramis is known by different names in different religions and different countries. All right? So are we understanding that? Babylon, which is the brain of the system, controls and regulates the strategy and the progress of the whole Satan's system. There are many things to talk about, but I would refer you to my previous sermon. There is a sermon called, there is something Nimrod in that sermon. So go and explore that sermon. And also the sermons about the beast system and the secret societies. You will find a lot about how everything is rooted in Babylon, and Babylon is the head. So I am not going in detail because I have already taken the revelation of Babylon and preached a lot about the harlot, preached a lot about Babylon. But are you understanding what is the head of Satan's system, the brain of Satan's system? It's Babylon. Okay, let's go. Then Daniel said that the chest and arms were of what? Silver. What does that mean? First of all, literally, the silver kingdom signifies the Medo-Persian kingdom that came after the fall of Babylon. But what does silver signifies? What is silver? The chest and what? The hands of the image. Now, listen to me very carefully. Silver signifies that though this system is built by Satan, but still God is in complete control of this system and brings his intervention into the system to perform his wills. Hallelujah. Though Satan has built this demonic pagan system, but yet God is God over all. He is the creator of the very Satan who built the system. So God has complete control over this system, and without God's permission and allowance, Satan cannot do anything through this system. That is what silver means. I will show you the scriptures now. Stay with me. What is silver? The Medo-Persian Empire. First of all, let me show you, silver is also the refined word of God, the authority of God that controls the whole earth. Psalm chapter number 12, verse number 6. Psalm chapter number 12, verse number 6. Okay. It says, the word of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. Hallelujah. So the word of the Lord is not refined gold. It's not refined bronze. It's not iron. What is it? It is silver. The Bible, I am telling you, the Bible is the perfect book. No book is perfect, but the Bible is perfect. Because with the spirit of revelation, when you start to relate things, everything in the Bible will start to give you revelations and meaning. And everything is related. Silver, refined silver, meaning God's word. Do we understand that? All right. What did I say? Silver signifies that though this system is built by Satan, but still God is in complete control of the system. And he, through his intervention, he, in this system, he can perform his will. That's why Daniel was placed in the system, and Daniel could dismantle and manipulate the system to bring God's will in Babylon. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? If Satan is ruling the earth through this system, through the princes of the air, through the principality, but Satan does not have complete control, God still does things according to his will on the face of the earth. And those who obey this God, hallelujah, will always reign, will always be above Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
And this serpent said, the head of gold will be always under your feet, under our feet. If we understand faithfulness to God, obedience to God, surrender to God. Are we understanding that? The silver chest and arms signifies, though Satan has taken a lot of efforts to build the kingdom, but still the hands that are working are the hands of God, are his word, the Medo-Persian Empire. Are we understanding? The Medo-Persian Empire was an instrument in God's hand that God used to bring the people of Judah out of Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire. Let me show you from the scriptures. Daniel chapter number 6, verse 28. Let's go there. Daniel chapter number 6, verse 28. That is the Silver Kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Kingdom that came after Babylon. Daniel chapter number 6, verse number 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Remember Darius? He loved Daniel. But these people deceived, wicked people deceived him and made him sign a decree that cannot be changed to put Daniel into the lion's den, into the cave, to kill Daniel. But he did not die. So he was the one who exalted Jehovah God in all the kingdoms, releasing a decree to all the people, saying that all men on the face of the earth shall tremble before the God of Daniel. So Darius, this is the Silver Kingdom. Darius was, though he was an unbeliever, still he had the fear of God, the Silver Kingdom. So God can use unbelievers in authority to bring about his will. God can use a president, God can use a prime minister who are not proper Christians to bring about his will. Do we understand that? All right. Now coming to another verse, Isaiah chapter number 45. Isaiah chapter number 45, and let's read from verse number 2. Isaiah chapter number 45. Let's read from verse number 2. I will go before you. 45 verse number 2, very important. Let's read from verse number 1, sorry. Isaiah 45, verse number 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. Who is Cyrus? The silver chest and arms, the Persian kingdom. Do we see that? He says, God says that he is God's anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze. Underline bronze, because we are going to come in the bronze. I will break in pieces the gates of what? Bronze. And cut the bars of iron. Underline iron. Because the next two kingdoms are bronze and iron. Hallelujah. Okay. So this is the word of God to Cyrus the king. He says, I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze, cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. You don't know me. You are not of the Jewish race. You are not a believer. But I have called you for my purposes. I will use the silver kingdom to bring my intervention in this demonic kingdom and bring my will to pass, even through the kingdom that Satan has built. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no other God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Hallelujah. So, believers, you don't have to be afraid. Oh, the mark of the beast will come. Oh, we will not be, persecution will come. Oh, people will persecute us. People will kill us. The demonic kingdom, though it is built by Satan and it is wicked, still God is in control. Still the silver refined word is in control. And if God wants to do something, he will perform his will, because he is the silver chest and the arms. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So that is the Medo-Persian Empire that came after Babylon. That is the inconsistency of Satan's kingdom. Satan wants to build a kingdom like Jesus' kingdom. Jesus' kingdom will reign forever. It's a consistent kingdom. No one can come against his kingdom. And all principalities, all dominion, all authority will be submitted to Jesus' feet, will surrender to Jesus' feet. Every name in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth will bow down before Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Satan wants that, and he is making efforts to build that kind of kingdom, but it's inconsistent. He built a gold head. Babylon he built, and he thought, this Babylon will last forever. Remember Babel that Nimrod built? He was trying to reach God's throne. He thought it will last forever, but there were the servants of God on the face of the earth that wrecked his gold head. And then, you see, if you are building a building and the government comes with the bulldozer and comes and destroys it completely. You took so many years to lay the foundation, build the building. Someone comes and destroys it completely. If you want to build it again, you will not get the same resources, the same time again to build it. So the next time you build it, maybe the building will have flaws. Maybe the next time you build it. That is what is happening with Satan. Satan tries to build Babel. God comes and destroys it. And again, he has to do something. So his kingdom is completely inconsistent. So when the head of gold was destroyed by God, he was trying to build another kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire, but God took hold of the kingdom and he could not reign in through Babylon. He could not. Babylon was devastated. Babylon that time was destroyed completely, and God has his ways. So these are the loopholes I am going on to show you in Satan's kingdom. Are we together? Hallelujah. Believers should not be afraid of the future. Believers should go and read Matthew 24 and be ready for it, because we have to explore the loopholes in Satan's kingdom. Do we understand that? What is the silver chest? Okay. And arms, that is Cyrus, that is Darius and Cyrus, the Medo-Persian Empire that came. All right, and another verse before we go to the next kingdom. Daniel chapter number 7, verse number 19. Before we go to the next kingdom, let's go to that verse. Let's go to that scripture. Daniel chapter number 7, verse number 19. Daniel 7, verse number 19. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. Okay. The fourth beast. Now, I don't have time to go. When you read Daniel chapter number 7, there are four beasts. How many were there here in the image? Four components. Gold, silver, bronze, iron. And then afterwards, you can go and read your Bible and relate Daniel 7 and Daniel 2. It's talking about the same four kingdoms. Okay? Now, it is talking about the same four kingdoms. The last kingdom is the mixture of the third and the fourth kingdom. Daniel chapter number 7, where we were? Verse 19. It says, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which were different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze. The belly and thighs were of bronze and the legs were of iron. The same things. So the teeth of the fourth kingdom was of iron and the nails were of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. Remember what is the promise to Cyrus? Cyrus, you will do what? Break the gates of bronze and destroy the bars of irons. So that is what Cyrus will do. Break the gates of bronze and destroy the bars of iron. Now for that, we have to realize, coming to the third part of the image, the belly and thighs of bronze. Stay with me. The belly and thighs of bronze. This represents the kingdom or the prince of Greece. Okay? When you read Daniel chapter number 10, Daniel chapter number 9 and chapter number 10. Daniel was interceding, praying for the restoration of Israel. But someone in the realms of the spirit were blocking the prayers of Daniel. The person, the entity who was blocking the prayers of Daniel was the prince of Persia. Okay? Who is the prince of Persia? The silver kingdom. Satan's kingdom, silver kingdom. Because Daniel was praying during the reign of the Medo-Persian Empire. So in the realms of the air, there was a prince, a fallen angel, a prince of Persia, who was blocking the prayers of Daniel. Stay with me. And then the Bible says, Gabriel was obstructed, but Michael, the archangel of God, and came and fought with the prince of Persia and released Gabriel. So Gabriel came and said, from the first day, Daniel, you prayed and set your heart to understand God. Your prayers were heard, but your answers were delayed because the prince of Persia was fighting. Hallelujah. So are you understanding? Satan's kingdom is inconsistent. One kingdom falls down, another rises up. Babylon fell, prince of Persia came. And then Gabriel said, prince of Persia blocked me, but Michael, the archangel, came and rescued me. But the fight is not over. After the prince of Persia is defeated, who will come? The prince of Greece will come. Prince of Greece will come. Now, everyone say the prince of Greece. Who is the prince of Greece? Everyone say the prince of Greece.
Prince of Greece.
Daniel chapter number 10.
Prince of Greece.
Daniel chapter number 10, verse number 11. Daniel chapter number 10, verse number 11. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Daniel, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That is the reason Daniel ended his fast at the 21st day. Because on the 21st day, the power of fasting released the answer for Daniel. You see how much conflict goes on in the realms of the spirit while we pray and wait on the Lord. Any which ways, I've already explained those things. I will not go into the spiritual warfare area. But this is spiritual warfare. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So there are princes in the kingdom of God. There are princes in the kingdom of the devil also. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. There is the prince of Persia. And under the prince of Persia, there is the kings of Persia. Remember what what Ephesians 6:12 says, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So that is the hierarchy. First comes princes, principalities. Okay? Rulers of darkness, those are the kings. Any which ways, we'll not go into that. I've already taken all those topics. Okay? Now I have come to make you understand that what will happen to your people in the later days. So it says, yes, I have been left alone with the kings of Persia, verse number 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the later days of this vision. Refer to many days yet to come. And when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you? My Lord, as for me, no strength remains in me. Now nor in any is any breath left in me. Then again the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong, yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. So currently they are under the silver kingdom, the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, who will come? The prince of Greece will come. But I tell you the truth, what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. The reason why he said Michael, your prince, because Michael is the archangel for the nation of Israel. Michael is the prince of the nation of Israel in the realms of the spirit. So any other prince comes against the people of Israel, Michael, the archangel, is the one who fights them in the realms of the spirit. Any which way it is. Did you see after the prince of Persia is gone, is defeated completely, who will come? The prince of Greece. So the head was what? The head of gold was Babylon. The silver was the Persian Empire or the Medo-Persian Empire. And after that is destroyed by God, the prince of Persia is defeated by God. Who will be coming? The prince of Greece, that signifies the bronze kingdom. The belly and thighs of bronze signifies the Greece kingdom. Now, what is this kingdom? What is this part of the image signifying? This part of the image signifies the content of Satan's system. Belly. What do you store in the belly? Food, right? That gives energy to your body. The belly and thighs of bronze signifies the content of Satan's kingdom, which is called the doctrine. It represents the spiritual part, as bronze is related with the gates of bronze. Okay? Bronze, when you read the Bible, it says the gates of bronze you will break. What does gates signify? Gates signify, remember my sermon on spiritual gates? Gates signify altar. Altar, the spirituality, the priesthood of a kingdom, the doctrine of a kingdom is the belly, the Greek kingdom. So the Greek kingdom is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom, which itself is rooted in the Babylonian kingdom, because the gods in Greece, which they worship, are the same gods that Babylon worship, but by different names, are the same rituals. So the doctrine of Satan's kingdom, let us explore what is the Greek kingdom from the Bible. Because it says, after the silver kingdom is done, the prince of Greece will come, which is the bronze, the belly and the thighs, which signifies the food, the content, the doctrine. Let's understand from the Bible what is the Greece kingdom and what is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. We will understand when we understand the Greek kingdom. Okay? Acts chapter number 17, verse number 14 to 34. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 14 to 34. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 14 to 34. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Where did Paul came? To Athens. Where is Athens? Athens is Greece. What happened in Athens brings us to the understanding what is the doctrine. Okay. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, the spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. The doctrine of Satan's kingdom leads to idolatry. That is the bronze kingdom. Do we understand that? I am showing you the parts, and then we will explore the weakness afterwards. These are the parts of Satan's kingdom from the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. What was the city given over to? The city was given over to idolatry. Many idols, many gods. Okay? Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this blabber want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be proclaiming of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak?" for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Stop there. So Greek philosophy was very open. Open means if a new god is introduced to them, if a new deity is introduced to them, they are open to receive that deity and put them in among one of their gods. That is how the doctrine is. Do we understand that? If you will come to them and tell them this tree is supernatural, this tree is actually a god, they will put the tree among one of their gods. You go to them and tell, oh, Jesus is God. They will take Jesus and put them among one of their gods. That is what happens in India. That is the doctrine on which Satan's kingdom functions. Remember what I told you? Satan is in the business of making many gods so that the people are confused and do not come to the one true and living God, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. In India, around 80% of the believers who go to the mega church, they believe in Jesus, but they believe in other gods also. So when you go to their house, there is a picture of Jesus. There is a picture of their Hindu gods. I had been exploring gods in India that I never knew. I was born in India. I come from a Hindu background, but there are so many. That day when I was driving, going somewhere, just after some time getting out of my house with my car, there was a temple on the wayside, in the middle of the road, a temple on the four-way, on the crossroad, in between. Okay, in the middle of the road, here is the temple. And people are going there to worship in that temple, to offer their prayers to the God in the temple. But right in front of the temple, I saw this woman standing and facing a tree, which was completely destroyed, decayed. And she was worshiping that tree right in front of the temple. I said, what is this? I mean, that is the Indian God. Why is she not going to that temple to worship that God? Right in front of the temple, instead of worshiping the God in the temple, she is worshiping this tree. So the doctrine of Satan is like, he wants to make everything God. And that is coming from the Greek philosophy. Do we understand that? That is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. He wants to make everything God. He wants to even deceive you to consider that you yourself are a God. Remember what he told to Eve? If you eat the fruit of this tree, you will have wisdom like God and you will become like God. Do we understand that? He wants to make everything God. That is what the doctrine of Satan's kingdom initiates. And that comes from the belly, bronze, that is Greek philosophy. Okay? See, when I teach these things, I don't refer most of the time to extra biblical things. I will teach things from the Bible because everything is there in the Bible. The Greek philosophy, what they believed is right inside the Bible. So what happened there? They had many gods in Athens, many idols. So when Paul came with the gospel, they said, what is he speaking? What is he blabbering? He's talking about a foreign god. We are interested to hear. Because all they do in Athens is sit there and try to explore new things, new stuff, new gods, new beliefs. Hallelujah. People of God, until now, are you there with me? Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
The belly is the doctrine. And the doctrine is rooted in the bronze. Bronze is Greek. Bronze is Greek philosophy. Hallelujah. Hindu philosophy, Greek philosophy are having the same beliefs. You know, the gods are different, the traditions are different, but the structure is the same. The structure is the same. Tomorrow, if in the sky they find the photo of Jesus, I am telling you, Hindus will start worshipping that Jesus that they find in the sky. Someone sent me a video, and in that video, what happened is, you know, the freezer of the refrigerator. So in that video, they opened the freezer, a family opened the freezer, and the ice that was made, became an elephant in an elephant shape. So the family believed that the elephant god has visited them right inside their refrigerator. And they took that elephant that was an ice-shaped elephant and made it a god in their temple. That is the doctrine of Satan. Anything you find, you can make it as God. They even make men and women, human beings, as God. We will find that in Greek philosophy. Are we together about the doctrine? Okay, let me read ahead.
Yes.
So, verse number 20, Acts chapter number 17, verse number 20. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new things. That is what I am telling you. All the people of Athens, that is people of Greece, did nothing. Never went to work, never went to the office. They sat there and wanted to explore what is the new thing coming in the market. Which is the new god coming in the market. Which is the new doctrine coming in the market. That is where ecumenism comes. And that is where the Iron Kingdom is now saying, the Iron Kingdom, which is the Beast Kingdom, which is the Catholic Church, is now saying, and you will see the Pope standing with other religious leaders and saying, only Jesus is not the way. All gods can lead to eternal life. All gods are the way. You understand that? That is the doctrine of this Satan's kingdom, the Greek philosophy. Hallelujah. And by the way, the apostles were preaching in that kind of an environment. And we are also living in that. India is like that country with that philosophy. We are living in such a time where most of the people believe that, yeah, we believe in Jesus. We believe in everything. We believe in the power of the sun. We believe in the power of the earth. We believe in this power. We believe in positive vibes. We believe in everything. We believe in everything. I'm telling you, if you are a Christian, you got to only believe, you know, by conviction of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one can go to the Father except through him. But Satan's doctrine confuses it and makes everything God. So they were sitting there, verse 21, doing nothing, but trying to find out and explore something new. A new God, a new religion, a new deity. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Now see the preaching and the presentation of the gospel by Apostle Paul. Okay, to these people. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. That means some of the gods they are worshipping, they don't even know who he is. Yes. I know because I come from a Hindu background, I know some of those Hindu gods. But nowadays, there are new names coming up here. I don't know if John Paul, that is happening in his state or not. But here where I stay, I never heard about new gods, new names. They don't even know who they are worshipping. New names, strange faces. I mean, you will get scared looking at their faces, but they worship. These people need to know that Jesus created them, that Jesus saved them. Okay? To an unknown God, they don't even know which God they are worshipping. That is what Satan does. That is what the doctrine of Satan does. It blinds people. And they don't even know what they are worshipping, who they are worshipping. Okay? Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we also are we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, and among them Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Okay, this is the presentation of the gospel of by Apostle Paul to this people of Athens. And through the presentation, he realizes that these people worship many idols. And they, one thing good about them is that they are open-minded and they are ready to explore who Jesus is, because that is what they do. They every day try to explore. Today they explored Jesus, tomorrow they want to explore other God, some other beliefs, some other religion. But through the preaching of Paul, through his ministry, someone got saved in that city. Okay, two people, a man named Dionysius. Now, this Dionysius, the picture that I showed you sometime back, is a name of a Greek god rooted to Nimrod, but he got saved. Hallelujah. He believed in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So God is in the business of bringing many people out of Babylon into his kingdom. Abraham was one of them. He was in Chaldea. He was in idol worship. He was in all, believing all the other gods. But God brought him out and he started to walk with God. Here in the city of Athens, one man and a woman named Damaris. These are all Greek gods' names that they have. But they started to believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Do we see that? So when we preach the gospel, the stone starts to strike this satanic kingdom, this head of gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, and starts to destroy any which ways. What I'm saying is the belly and the thighs of bronze represent the doctrine. So let me stop here. I will continue with the belly and the thighs of bronze and take you to other scriptures where they preached in Greece and what happened in Greece. From there, we will realize what is the philosophy and the doctrine of Satan and on which Satan's kingdom is standing. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. The God wants to equip his people. God wants to equip you, I am telling you, because he does not want you to be afraid of the future. He does not want you to be afraid, oh, persecution is coming, oh, mark of the beast is coming, oh, this will happen, oh, you know, the cost is going up, oh, how we will survive. No. There are loopholes in Satan's kingdom. And once this great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw is exposed, you will realize those loopholes, and then you can take advantage of the weakness of Satan's kingdom. You know how Satan takes advantage of you? By exploring your weaknesses. We have to learn the strategy of exploring the weaknesses by the spirit of revelation of a kingdom, by exploring the loopholes. That's why some spirits come and attack you. You pray, they go away. But after 2 years, they come back again. They come back again. What they were doing for 2 years? For 2 years, they were trying to explore which area you are weak. And again, how they can re-strategize and come back and make you fall. Hallelujah. But we are guarding and building ourselves in the word of God. And in return, we are exploring the weakness and the loopholes in Satan's kingdom through this teaching. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you.
Hallelujah.
We want to give you the praise. We want to give you the honor. We want to give you the glory. Father, thank you for this time. Even as the year is ending, many, Lord, of your people are busy traveling, Father. But thank you. You gave us this time, Lord, to come into your presence. Lord, nothing is more important than your presence, than your word, oh Father. Oh Lord, Father, I ask you, Lord, we want to give you the praise. We want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor. Lord, through the power O Lord, and through the authority and through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, I ask you that you will expose Satan's kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Rabala sokotoro bolohodre bente lebende. And equip your people for the coming days, Lord. That, Lord, that they will endure till the end and they will be saved, Lord. Because the love of many will grow cold, you said, Lord, in the coming days, Lord. Because of the situations, because of the things happening around the world. But, Father, thank you, Lord, that your word strengthens us. Father, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. I just feel like, Lord, that even as we come on Sunday night, that will be the last service of the week, we let us give thanks to the Lord. He deserves all the thanks because throughout the year, he kept us alive. He kept us safe. He has kept given us a mind that can read and meditate on his word and understand his word. That is a blessing. And we need to thank him for preserving us yet another year. Hallelujah. We need to thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for even, Lord, taking us through the trials, Lord, taking us through the difficulties, Lord. And Lord, we want to say, Lord, there was not even one battle that you lost in 2024. Every battle, Lord, you brought us victory. Hallelujah. And we want to give you the praise. We want to give you the honor. Let us, Lord, as your people, Lord, grow and fill ourselves more with your word, because the coming days, Lord, are perilous, Lord. But Lord, you have given us the provision of your manna, Lord. Oh, thank you for feeding us throughout the year. It is because you spoke to us in many situations. Lord, breakthrough did not come from money. Breakthrough did not come from any person. Every breakthrough that we had in 2024, it came from you, Lord. Many confusions, Lord, were taken away and we found direction. It is because you spoke to us. Your voice, your word, your presence preserved us, Father. And we want to all the more seek you, Lord. Seek your voice, seek your word, seek your ways, Lord, in the coming years. And we want to give you the praise. We want to give you thanks. All glory, all honor, all praise we give you. Hallelujah. Thank you for every person here, Lord. Thank you for even those who are not there, Lord, Father. Wherever they are, you cover all of them with the precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord, Father. Once again, we are so grateful to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We all shout, Amen. Hallelujah.